On Robin Hood Radio today, we have invited a guest, Caroline Nestra, who's from Cornwall. And it's funny because we were talking about internet activity for Sharon, Connecticut. A couple of weeks ago, Sharon has sent out a flyer asking people for their input and seeing if they'd be interested in it. What Caroline has contacted me about is she thinks that the CARES funding by the Northwest Hills Council of Governments is being misused, and also that she thinks there might be questionable use of more than over $300,000 of state broadband funding by the Council of Governments. Caroline, thanks for joining us. First of all, how did you come to these two conclusions right off the bat, thinking about the CARES funding and the Northwest Council of Governments?
Well, I attended a Cornwall Connectivity Forum in July of 2019, and an entity came to speak there, Northwest Connect, which is a company that's being promoted and supported as well by the Northwest Hills Council of Governments. And so during that meeting, I listened to some of the statements that were made by Northwest Connect, and I found a bit of them puzzling, including the fact, for example, that that fiber today is like electricity in the 1930s, or that children can't connect to do their homework, for example, via the speeds that we have now. And part of my background is in film, where you transfer large amounts of files. And so I knew that some of this information was questionable. And I just started to ask some questions. I wrote a letter for the Cornwall Chronicle, or wrote an article for the Cornwall Chronicle. And then I was invited to be part of a committee in Cornwall that looked into this. And as I was looking into it, I noticed that there was a real push to promote Northwest Connect in our area. And this program was started, I believe, by Roberta Willis several years ago. And it really started out of a desire to, which many of us have seen in the area, a desire to improve broadband services in the area, so to encourage the cable providers to roll out their lines to the areas that they haven't rolled out to, or to see if we can get better pricing or better customer service, basically to work in that area. And what the Northwest Connect has morphed into is really promoting a municipal fiber network in our area. And that's being run by the CEO of the company named Kim Maxwell. And so there are several problems with this, and a lot of complicated issues surrounding it. One of the main ones being that the Northwest Connect, the townspeople, the taxpayers, would be required to take out a 40-year loan to pay for this. And we would then own the municipal fiber lines, and we would also then need a private internet provider to come in and provide the services. So it's a very costly endeavor that's going to impact every single person in a town who agrees to do it. And so I started to ask questions about that. How is that going to work? And I found that there wasn't as much, basically, that there was a real focus on Northwest Connect without, to the detriment of doing other projects immediately right now for CARES, you know, for COVID relief. For example, there are kids who can't access school right now because they don't have good connection, or they don't have the right hardware that works with Zoom. So I just was wondering, and so I sort of noticed this at the same time. And when I was part of that committee, I was interested in working on both things. I thought we could be focused on Northwest Connect as well as doing these more immediate programs that could help people in our area. And I found that when I was in the committee that wasn't really being, basically, it wasn't being encouraged. Really, the main focus was to work on the fiber optic network. And so then I heard that Northwest Connect had received $148,000 of CARES funding. They didn't actually receive it themselves, but the COG received the Northwest Hills Council of Government received the funding, and the Northwest Hills Council of Governments essentially pays for all of the consultants, everything that Northwest Connect needs. So they allocated that funding to support Northwest Connect. And I just wondered how a municipal fiber network that basically every town needs to approve first, and there are a lot of questions as to whether it's even financially viable. And to me, that didn't seem like an appropriate use of COVID funding. mainly for one major reason, that it wouldn't be enacted for several years, a fiber network, if at all, when there's so many issues right now that people have with dealing with the COVID pandemic. So that was where my kind of interest developed. I sort of saw that things were happening in my town that I thought were unusual. Then I joined the committee and was surprised to see that there was so much focus on Northwest Connect, to the point that Northwest Connect was even involved in our committee and things like that, and to the detriment of doing anything else. And then I started to look into the funding. Why is this happening? Why are we putting so much funding into one initiative that may or may not ever succeed? And then after discovering the $148,000 of COVID funding, I discovered that every bit of broadband funding that's come to our area, to our region, through the Northwest Hills Council of Government, has gone to support Northwest Connect. And that is, at least now, including the CARES funding, $448,000. I believe that it's more, and I've been getting documentation to this effect. And I really think there needs to be a real critical look at whether this is beneficial, this will be beneficial to the towns, and whether it makes sense financially for the towns to join in. One of the major issues, so I'm a children's book writer. I'm generally not doing this kind of thing, but I've been calling up experts and speaking to experts in different areas, one of whom is reporting directly to the governor right now about this issue of a municipal fiber network and whether we can at the same time be working very proactively to improve broadband access and connectivity right now during the pandemic. And so one of the issues that he brought up, as well as other researchers and people that I've spoken to, including Steve Simonin, who is the chair of the Litchfield Cable TV Advisory Council, is that our area of the country finds itself in an unusual position when it comes to municipal fiber networks, because we already have three major providers: Comcast, Optimum, or Altice, and Spectrum. So any fiber network that would be put in, if it ever is put in place, that would be put in place by a municipality, would therefore be in direct competition with the municipal, would be direct competition with the cable providers. So unlike many areas in which these municipal fiber networks have succeeded, there are not very many success stories, but in the areas where it is successful, to my knowledge, none of those areas have a current internet or had a current internet provider when they started their system. So Northwest Connect has cited examples of successful municipal networks. One of them they've cited is Leverett, Massachusetts. And that, for example, did not have an internet provider in town of any consequence. So it's like comparing apples to oranges. And when you put what the experts have told me is that if you did something like this, you'd basically be putting the towns at risk of going bankrupt, to be frank. I mean, there's a real risk of that happening, because if you have a network competing with the cable provider who currently provides broadband access, and you would be at real risk of subscribers not wanting to join the municipal network and choosing the cable provider. And the reason for that is that, unlike the cable provider, Northwest Connect's municipal fiber network that's being supported by the Northwest Hills Council of Government would not offer cable services, TV. So you'd have, if you wanted to have both, you'd need to have, if you wanted to subscribe to the municipal network, you'd have to have cables, you'd have to have internet as well as from them, and then an entirely different service from the cable provider, such as Optimum, for TV. So we're basically in a very tricky financial situation with regards to these networks, and they're very risky for that reason, because we would be creating what's called a redundant network or an overbuild. And that, despite this major complication that pertains in particular to our region, the Northwest Hills Council of Government has been funding, essentially supporting and funding Northwest Connect's efforts for the past at least 6 years. And I think that's a real problem. I also think it's a real problem because Northwest Connect is a private company. So when that money is given to them, we have no sense of how it's being used, any accountability, what it's being used for. And we've seen that over the past 6 years, so far, not one kind of workable plan, financial model, has been presented to any of the towns. And so what we have is basically people are kind of, it's almost like a kind of a Hail Mary metaphor, if you think of football. We're basically, all of the townspeople in our area have basically been supporting the research and development efforts for a company for the past 6 years, when they may never see a return on their investment. The only return would be if one of these towns, one of the 26 or more towns who were involved, decided to build a municipal fiber network. And then, even then, each town would need to do its own research for this as well and would need to contact the providers and work directly with them. So I think this information, it would be useful for this information to get out there. And I've been really encouraged because as I've been talking about this, and I've noticed in various newspapers how there's been a lot of talk, letters about signs on people's front lawns and some signs being taken by either Republicans or Democrats. And I've been really encouraged because as I put this information out, both sides of the political spectrum have reached out to me concerned about this, and Republicans and Democrats alike. And it's really nice to see that we can come together and that when something is right or wrong, people both sides of the spectrum can recognize that. So that's how I've kind of come to it. And there's a lot more information I can give about various things, but it basically comes down to the fact that the townspeople will have to contribute. The taxes would be raised on townspeople to support this venture to build the lines. And that's currently estimated at about $5 million for the town of Cornwall, or $5,000. But I've also heard from experts that you're really talking about costs upwards of $8 million. So I'm not even, the numbers that the Northwest Connect has provided aren't exactly firm at this point. And then the second issue is once you've done that, you still would need to, in order to connect to the municipal network, according to what Northwest Connect has presented so far, you would need to pay thousands of dollars to get yourself connected. So if you're about 3/4 of a mile or so, maybe a bit more from the road, you would have to pay about $30,000, $20,000 to $30,000, I think is Northwest Connect's estimate, to connect to the municipal fiber network. Then on top of that, there would be internet providers who would provide basically the services that you get now from Optimum. And this would be a private company who would be a for-profit company. Right now, Northwest Connect is estimating that cost would be between $80 to $100 per person per month. So the monthly cost in Cornwall, I believe, would be about $10 to pay for the municipal fiber line itself. So now you're talking about $90 a month, and you haven't even counted in cable or phone. So I currently pay about $45 with Optimum for 100 megabytes a second, and that's substantially lower than what the Northwest Connect is offering. And yet we're still being asked to basically give our taxpayer dollars to this venture. And what my point is that if we're going to support broadband in the area, we should be supporting several different initiatives. We should, and especially now during COVID, we should be supporting initiatives that are very important now to be working on, to connect children, to connect people, to improve connectivity for businesses, and that will have an immediate effect right now. So that's, I've also discovered as I've looking into the funding that's been allocated by the Northwest Hills Council of Government, they received $400,000. Another $60,000 of the CARES funding was given to support, this is $60,000, was given to support a social media campaign by, I think it's the entity that runs the site Discover Litchfield Hills. That to me also seems, I haven't researched that as much as I've researched the Northwest Connect issue, but that also seems like something that we could look into and to see whether that is actually a wise use of funds. What Northwest Connect and what the Northwest Hills Council of Governments would say is that these are part of regional efforts that that they are doing, and they've been working on long term, to basically make improvements in the area. But when these regional efforts do not benefit or have the risk of not benefiting even one town, I wouldn't call them regional anymore. I would call them basically gratuitous. And so that's what I've been really looking into. It really upset me in particular to see how the CARES funding was being used. That was really what prompted me to start looking into this more deeply.
We're speaking with Carolyn Mastro. Now, Carolyn, if people want more information from you, somebody listening now and interested in this, how do they contact you? How do they get more information from you directly?
Yeah, there's going to be a site that I'm going to be uploading soon. It's going to be called Disconnect Northwest Connect. So I can provide a link to that. Basically, people can contact me through that site.
So it will be called Disconnect Northwest Connect.
Yeah, and you can, and also there's an email address as well called disconnectnwconnect@gmail.com.
Well, just let us know as soon as that site is up and running so we can publicize that.
Yeah, and I can include a lot of information about this there, and the proof and the documentation that I've been collecting about, I mean, just to finally reiterate the cost, there was a person who did a study recently from University of Pennsylvania, a computer scientist and lawyer, and he analyzed the 22 municipal networks for which he was able to tease out the broadband data. A lot of these entities are connected with the electric utilities. And of those 22 networks, all of them failed, I mean, very substantially, except for one. There was one that was in a commercial area, that very commercial area, a small radius of businesses that did succeed. And we're talking tunes, for example, places like Provo, Utah, and Marietta, Georgia, where they sold their systems for, one of them sold their systems for $1 at a loss of, I think it was $29 million. Another town sold their system again at a loss of many millions of dollars. I think it was $10 or $12 million. Burlington, Vermont defaulted on its indebtedness related to a municipal fiber network. So this is really where the real concern comes. So I just would like to, I'll include that study on the site, and I'll include a reference to it too if anyone reaches out to me.
All right. Well, thank you for bringing this to our attention. And like I said, keep us updated on this, because the more information people know, the better decisions they can make. And once again, once you get that website up and running, let us know so we can promote it so people can go there and get more information from you.
That's great. Thank you very much.